The Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net and joining me shortly, Jonathan Chan and Kevin Kuo, also of FantasySixPack.net. Well folks, a lot of injuries, a lot of changes, a lot of a rather quiet trade deadline as well. We've got a game going on at the moment, Dallas and the New York Giants. Dallas is leading by a point because Rosas missed the extra point. So that's going to be going into the fourth quarter. First, we'll talk to Jonathan. How's it going, man? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. And Dallas is now up by 8. They just scored a touchdown.
Who scored it?
I think it was Gallup.
Oh, Gallup. All right.
Nice.
I think it was Gallup.
Okay. Kev, how are you doing today? You on in good spirits today? Have a good fantasy weekend?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Not too bad. I had a good weekend. Went to Vegas. Lost a bunch of money. So, pretty good.
How did you lose the money, though? Did you gamble it or did you spend it?
Both.
Yeah. That's the danger.
That's the way to go.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. We'll go down that road. Let's get right into the news, guys. Before the weekend or on the weekend, Josh Gordon went to the Seahawks. Now, I know how you guys feel about Josh Gordon. 28th waiver priority. I'll go to the big fan is Jono. Jono, Josh Gordon, Seahawks. Your take.
I mean, I wouldn't rush to the waiver wire for him, but in the one league that I'm completely out of and no longer care about, I added him immediately because why not? Don't really know how he's going to look coming off a knee injury. He's got to integrate into another new offense. This one might be a little bit better for him because the Seahawks have a lot of those broken passes that he can, just try to go deep and let Russ throw to him. But it's very, very tough to say what he's going to look like. If you have a bench spot, there are worse flyers, but not really anything you can bank on.
And Kevin, I turn to you now. Moncrief just went to the Panthers and he had 19th. He went 19th in the priority. Does that say anything about Josh Gordon and...
I don't know. Honestly, I think people are probably not willing to take that big of a risk on Gordon, especially if he didn't work out with the Patriots. Probably the idea is if he's not going to work out with the Patriots, he's not going to work out with anyone. Kind of like the AB thing. Moncrief, I literally have no clue. No idea why they would want Moncrief.
I think it's just a depth move. My take on Josh Gordon is this. I kind of feel like he's worth picking up, yes, but keep your expectations very low. Because, on two fronts is that the Seahawks, they're not much of a, they are a run first offense, but Russell Wilson, depending on the matchup, Russell Wilson will throw as he did in the Tampa Bay game. But, I kind of made a joke that Josh Gordon is kind of like the second coming of Percy Harvin. So I know how that sounds, but, because the Seahawks were all high on getting Percy Harvin, and he turned out to be kind of a bust. So, but I don't think they're looking at Josh Gordon as a bust as such. But I think the only person he really hurts is DK Metcalf. Maybe, but it appears like there's a lot of targets to go around, but definitely going to be matchup based. If you're planning on starting him at any point, the matchup has to be right. Kev, Jacoby Brissett out with knee sprain. Brian Hoyer, worth a stream?
In a really, really good matchup, I guess so. I'm not really... it's just the upside really isn't there anymore, especially with T.Y. Hilton missing a couple weeks. I get that Hoyer came in and threw a couple touchdowns, but I don't think you can really bank on it week to week.
And Jono, Adam Thielen, the Vikings are uncertain about his return. He played 7 snaps and he just couldn't do it. And so are we picking up Olabisi?
Yeah, you could, but I don't think Olabisi really has a ceiling that you can bank on. He's got an almost zero floor. And with the way that Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison are running, I don't see why they would force, throws from Kirk Cousins in the kind of offense they're actually running. I didn't catch the game or read or catch the news. Did Diggs get hurt or did he just disappear for the sake of disappearing?
He just disappeared. It was really kind of a strange game script. Diggs wasn't hurt. He didn't come up on the injury report or anything. It was just a down game for him. Laquon Treadwell was the guy that Cousins wanted to target.
Weird script. I don't see Diggs. I don't see that happening again. I think it's going to be another one of those like 14, 15 target games for Diggs. And I don't think Johnson's a priority pickup unless you're like really hurting on bye weeks.
Mm. Deshaun Jackson, D-Jax, is having core muscle surgery. He tried to give it a go just like Adam Thielen did with the Vikings, but he aggravated his abdominal tissue and it's torn off the bone, apparently. He could be out for the season. Who are we looking at to solidify in our lineups with him out?
I think the one probably beneficiary is Dallas Goedert, actually. I just don't really like any of the receivers. So, I don't know. I don't really think it's worth picking up like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside or Nelson Agholor. Nelson Agholor, one of my least favorite players. So, I'd probably just go with Goddard, I guess, and kind of hope, especially with the tight end position being so bad. Hopefully he kind of steps up a little bit.
All right. And Mark Walton, four-game suspension. Kalen Ballage and Miles Gaskin are the next guys up. Jono, what do you think of Ballage or Gaskin, or are they going to just go with hot hand, or what's going to be?
Man, if you're adding Kalen Ballage at this point in the season, you're either stuck with injuries or something went terribly wrong. That's a desperate pickup. He's not a good player, Kalen Ballage. Gaskin probably has a higher ceiling, probably, but I wouldn't really risk it. I think the Dolphins got their one win out of the way last week, and game scripts are going to be bad the rest of the way. I wouldn't risk anything on really either player unless you really, really need it.
Is it fair to say then that Kalen Ballage or Miles Gaskin will come up in the waiver pickups column? They'll come in the bottom,
options. I mean, I didn't have time to write it this week, which I put into the group. Hopefully somebody saw that. Getting a little worried now, but...
Okay, and finally, with the last injury, of course, is Paris Campbell, and he's out with a broken hand, out indefinitely. We don't know the status of him, but I don't think we really care about the Colts unless Jacoby Brissett is back. My view personally of Brissett being out, it hurts everybody. I mean, it didn't seem to hurt Jack Doyle, but he had a pretty good game. But we'll get into these games right now. We'll start off with San Francisco and Atlanta, the Thursday night game from last week. Good game for Jimmy Garoppolo. Actually came out as the second highest quarterback in fantasy for week 9. Thoughts on this game, Kev? Kenyon Drake, 15 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, Drake looked really good. I'm not really sure what the status of David Johnson and Chase Edmonds is, but you know, if they're going to be out, then I think Drake really demonstrated that he's a good fit for this offense. And I mean, there's not a better team that he could demonstrate it against than the Niners, who are probably the best defense in football right now. So if Dave Johnson and Chase Edmonds are going to remain out, then I like Kenyon Drake as pretty clear, you know, mid to low end RB2 going forward.
And Jono, Emmanuel Sanders, he really fits into the 49ers offense, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry he developed with Garoppolo right away already looks like his favorite target. But considering how Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel are playing, that's not really surprising. It could look even better as they grow more comfortable with each other and he gets more ingrained into the offense. Of course, I wouldn't expect, you know, 112 yards and a touchdown every week, but Sanders is looking like he could be an every week option once again after an awful run this season in Denver.
Yeah, and Kev, just a little brief blurb on the your take on the San Francisco running backs. You just don't know who it's going to be from week to week. This week it was Breda's turn. Last week it was Tevin Coleman. What gives? Who do we start?
You know, I think if it's as a flex, you can start both of them, either of them, as an RB2. I mean, I probably the one who has the higher upside is Coleman, even though, you know, Breda is a big playmaker. Coleman is getting the more valuable touches. He's getting the red zone stuff, three touchdowns a week ago. So Breda isn't going to get those multiple touchdown games, even though he's taking the majority of the carries. It's just not really working out that way. So I guess Coleman is the way to go, and then Breda, and you just kind of got to hope and pray it goes your way that week.
Yeah, pretty low output for Tevin Coleman. He only scored 5 half PPR fantasy points. Moving right on to the London game. You know, in my column, I touted this as probably one of the best London games you're going to see of the year. It turned out to be terrible, really. It really didn't even get going in the second half a little bit. But my question to you, Jono, is there's going to be a controversy of the quarterbacks, and Gardner Minshew really didn't make his case in this game. He did throw for 309 yards, but he had 2 interceptions and he lost the ball. Any thoughts on Minshew and Foles and this quarterback controversy?
It's kind of like what we went over last week. I think Minshew, as long as he doesn't actively lose them games, I think they'll keep him in. But like you said, that performance wasn't the best. He racked up some nice garbage time yards, Blake Bortles style. But I guess the game before Foles comes back is really going to be the true test, and we'll have to see based on his performance. But I don't think anybody's really heavily relying on Minshew anyways.
Yeah. The top receiver was Rykel Armstead. That really kind of tells the story of the Jaguars defenders in this game. But all in all, I guess, can we just throw this game in the can for the Jaguars and just move on to the next one after they come off the bye?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's hard to throw one in the can when the quarterback might be changing after the bye, but I don't think there's much else to do. I think Minshew put in 8 games of good work. So one game, you know, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and would you also, sticking with you, Carlos Hyde, do you think he's moving on up? I mean, 19 carries, 160 yards, he did pretty good there.
Sadly, I have to admit, I was wrong with Carlos Hyde. And yeah, he is. I mean, he's just, when the Texans really get going, like, they have a good balance of running the ball and passing the ball. And a game like this where they get out ahead and they have the opportunity to kind of grind it a little bit, then Carlos Hyde is going to be pretty valuable because he's just going to get, you know, 15 to 18 carries per game.
Moving right along to Detroit 24, Oakland 31. Matthew Stafford, 406 yards, 1 interception, 3 touchdowns. Pretty big outing. Derek Carr, not too bad either. 2 touchdowns, only 289 yards, but still a fairly good day with no interceptions. Jono, the Detroit backfield. Now, is J.D. McKissick the guy?
Nope, nobody's the guy. That backfield is too much of a mess. I think Ty Johnson still led them in touches, but he's inefficient. And I think we talked about what could happen with this backfield now is that Matt Stafford is going to start throwing the ball 40 plus times a game. And clearly it was effective. They didn't win, but Stafford had a great game. And that was really the only time they can get the ball moving. I think this is a backfield you want to avoid. And this is going to be Stafford's show until further notice.
And Kev, on the other side of the ball, Oakland, 28 carries, 120 yards. Josh Jacobs keeps doing it.
Yeah, he's a beast. There's not much more to say to that. He's probably one of the better rookie running backs that's been in the league for fantasy in a while. The Raiders just love keep giving it to him, and he doesn't really have any other competition. The other two backs aren't great at all. So, yeah, he's just going to keep doing it.
I would say this. Do you think there's any I'm just going to take a look at their schedule coming up for excuse me, for Josh Jacobs. I have him at RB13, but with his schedule up coming up, he's got the Chargers and Cincinnati, Jets, Kansas City. Do you think he's a league winner?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really soft schedule, and I mean, they're going to keep giving him the ball. There's not much slowing him down, honestly, and he's going to have touchdown score. I mean, he's basically everything that we thought he would be. He's the perfect bell cow type back. He's going to catch balls. He's going to get the red zone stuff. They're going to use him to run down the clock. There's not too many holes in his game right now. And like you said, with that upcoming schedule, he's definitely going to put some people in really good playoff position.
Yeah, and one last note on this game is Marvin Jones. He's had some pretty good games, Jono, even better than Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I mean, we know even from his time in Cincinnati that Jones has the potential to do this. He's not the most consistent receiver, but if you need, you know, really high ceiling guy, especially now in an offense that's going to have to throw, yeah, this is the kind of game that Jones can put up following, you know, a really, really good game last week when he scored, what, 3 touchdowns?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's going quite well. Before I get into the late games, we're going to go into, continue with the early games. Washington 9 and Buffalo 24. Dwayne Haskins. Still haven't named a starter for him coming up. Definitely, Kev, he's hurting everybody on the, except for, I guess, for Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson went over 100 yards. So, I guess until Case Keenum comes back, are we sitting our, Redskins?
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I think we kind of saw this coming with McLaurin, which was the big hit for this one. It's kind of half Dwayne Haskins and then half Bill Callahan just wants to run a 1990s offense and hand the ball 25 times a game to Adrian Peterson. And I mean, they're going to continue to lose games, but Adrian Peterson is going to rack up the yardage and everyone else is going to be worthless on that offense.
All right. Jono, Devin Singletary, the breakout game?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good early on the season. He got hurt, you know, working his way back from hamstring injury, and he looked very, very good. All the Bills fans in Toronto were complaining that he didn't get the ball even more. So they clearly have a back there. I know there was a series right there on the one, and they gave it to Gore 3 straight times. He couldn't get in. Allen ended up taking that in for a rushing touchdown, but Singletary looked like the far better option. And if they're willing to give him those bell cow touches and kind of phase Gore out, I think he can be a big difference maker in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's definitely, if you drafted him and held on to him through thick and thin, you did very well. Tennessee 20 at Carolina 30. Goodness sakes, Kev. Christian McCaffrey, he just does not stop. What's to be done?
I mean, there's not much else to say. Yeah, he's good at football.
Yeah, there really isn't. But there's still room enough for DJ Moore to get over 100 yards on 7 catches.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, he's been one of the more disappointing players this season, and it's not. I don't know if it's really his fault since Cam's been hurt, but he hasn't really been able to separate himself from Curtis Samuel. Hopefully, this is the game that kind of sparks it a little bit with Cam maybe coming back in 2 to 3 weeks or something like that. Maybe DJ Moore can return value on, I think people drafted him like the fifth round. So he's a pretty high draft pick and I don't think he's been worth it.
Yeah. Just as a note, yeah, you, 6 targets for Curtis Samuel and he scored 15, half PPR fantasy points for you if you own Curtis Samuel. Good job, in that game. On the, Tennessee side, Tannehill, I think if you started the Panthers offense, you did well. He 2 interceptions and he got sacked a bunch of times. Definitely the Panthers defense is, if the matchup is right, he's the guy. But I guess, the point, of note here, actually, and this isn't really to do with the game, is, Kyle Allen, and, they're gonna keep Cam Newton out for, I guess, it seems indefinitely, Kev.
Yeah, I think they saw a foot specialist and they recommended that he not have surgery. So I guess his status is just going to continue to be up in the air.
Yeah. I guess there's nothing else really more to add to this game.
One thing, though, is that it seems that they are holding Cam out until, like, no matter how well or poorly Kyle Allen plays, they're going to hold Cam out until he's fully ready to come back, which at least indicates to me if you've got an IR spot or something like that, when he does come back, there he's going to be 100%.
Yeah. Terrific. Pretty good game, though, overall. Pretty exciting game. Another exciting game, too, was the Vikings at Chiefs, Vikings 23, Chiefs 26. The thing I noticed in this game was the Damian Williams breaking into the secondary, similar to McCaffrey breaking out, but the one thing I noticed is that Tyreek Hill, the defender, was chasing Damian Williams, and Tyreek Hill just burst past the defender to catch up to Damian Williams. And Damian Williams, you could see for a second, oh man, the defender caught up to me, and it was his friend Tyreek Hill just who caught up and escorted him into the end zone. It was quite a thrilling play. Is Damian Williams, is he back on the map?
Yeah. He out carried McCoy this week, 12-3. Shady was only got one target. Williams got three. Williams, I don't know. It's of course still going to be a hot hand kind of thing. If you take away the 91-yard touchdown, his day doesn't look great. Of course, you can't really take away a 91-yard touchdown because it happened. But this isn't like, oh, he got, you know, 20 carries or something like that. Next week, they could be back to 8-8, 9-9, something like that. And it's tough to say that, you know, Williams is the guy now. But like you said, he's back on the map. And I think if people dropped him, I think he needs to be added again, at least.
Yeah, you really can't take away his touchdown. Because then you'd have to take away Christian McCaffrey's long touchdown, too. So it all counts.
Yeah, but he does that like every three quarters, so...
Unbelievable, that guy. Meanwhile, Kev, on the quarterbacking side, Matt Moore not doing too bad. Got the win for the Chiefs, and Kirk Cousins didn't look too bad. You can still start your Chiefs, obviously, with Matt Moore in there confidently.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling's not going to be there unless, you know, you're Tyreek Hill and you just a touchdown threat every time you touch the ball. But Matt Moore is not the worst quarterback in the world. He's passable, and he's, you know, with Andy Reid, he's kind of like an offensive genius or whatever. He's going to make it work. So I was never really too worried about it. I mean, you're still going to start your Chiefs. I mean, besides, you start main guys at least. You're not going to start Sammy or Mecole or whatever. But the main guys on the Chiefs, I was never really too worried about.
No, that's, but also in this game, you mentioned that about the Adam Thielen thing and Laquan Treadwell got a lot of targets in that game, a lot more than what I usually see him. He usually gets one or two, but he got four or five in this game. So I wouldn't say a down game for Dalvin Cook. Well, I guess it is a down game because you kind of expect him to score a touchdown, but he's still got over 116 scrimmage yards there. So if anybody is close to Christian McCaffrey, I'd say it's I would put Dalvin Cook at number two, wouldn't you, Kev?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty comfortable number two this season.
I'll leave the dud for last. Go to Chicago at Philadelphia, 14-22 Philadelphia with a big win. Mitchell Trubisky, awful, 125 yards. He's just not getting any better. But he's not harming his receivers too much. Taylor Gabriel still at 69 yards, but, I think we can expect a little, inconsistency, with the Bears receivers because of, Trubisky. I think, Jono. I think so, Jono, if you're there.
Oh, yep. Hey.
Yeah, I think we can see some inconsistencies with because of the performance of Trubisky, only 125 yards passing. That translated only into 69 yards for Taylor Gabriel and a sprinkling among the rest. That's just not cutting it. I mean, can we trust our Bears receivers while Trubisky is in a slump?
No, we're seeing Trubisky regress before our eyes. He looks worse and worse and less confident every week. No matter how they try to get the running game going and help him out, it's not. When you have Allen Robinson on your team and you give him five targets for one catch and like 5 or 6 yards, just that's unacceptable. Feel bad for the Bears defense and Bears fans having to watch this. But geez, those receivers are going to be, like you said, inconsistent and not really trustworthy.
No, I you just can't trust Bears receivers until Trubisky starts getting his act together, if he can get his act together. Hasn't shown a spark yet. I don't know his actual statistics. If he's had a 300-yard game, I don't think he has. But he's been injured. I'm not going to give that up to him as an excuse, because if you're out there, you're playing. So,
five games this season with no touchdown passes and not a single game this season with 300 passing yards.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But, Kev, on the other side, though, Carson Wentz, we're not really getting what we're supposed to with him, though. He was supposed to be top 10. This is very, he's putting up a lot of QB2 weeks this season.
And yeah, I think people had him like top six. It hasn't really worked out this year. They're running the ball a little bit better, but that's not really a good enough reason. I think the biggest reason is somehow his offensive weapons have kind of taken a step back. Alshon doesn't really look like the same guy. Ertz is not the game changer that he has been. And then just the complimentary guys, Deshaun's been hurt. Nelson Aguilar's been bad. Any of the all the other additions they made this offseason haven't really worked out. The offensive line has regressed a little too. So all is put that all together and it's just been a pretty disappointing season for once.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the running game for both teams, Jordan Howard got his, quote unquote revenge game. You know, I don't think of it much as a revenge because, he was traded for decent fifth round value. It wasn't like, I don't think he was exactly pushed out or anything like that. They just didn't, they moved on from him in a kind of a kindly way because they sent him to Philadelphia, which is Philadelphia took the trade. It wasn't like they just left him on the street. So I mean, 82 yards and a touchdown. He's definitely the first ball carry. He doesn't catch passes. He just rushes, which is good because, he'll get the touchdown. He'll get the goal line carries ahead of his young protege. So, I'm always, you know what? I always get stuck for the name whenever I'm embarrassed. Miles Sanders. Yeah. So, keep waiting for my running back screen to come up. Anyways, I guess we'll move on from that game. Oh, I guess one more thing. Ertz came to life for a game. I guess it was about time. I guess he was due. So 103 yards and a touchdown. Well done, everybody who started Ertz and hung in there. Okay. I'll leave the worst last. Go to Colts at Pittsburgh. Of course, we talked about Jacoby Brissett didn't play most of the game. Brian Hoyer, 168 yards, an interception, 3 touchdowns though. Did pretty good in that department for touchdowns. So Mason Rudolph, still growing. Both the Pittsburgh receivers did pretty poorly, actually. Juju Smith-Schuster, just getting his, he got 5 receptions, 16 yards. Not very good, and Deontay Johnson didn't do much better. So, Kev, like we were saying, is this just more awfulness until Mason Rudolph gets better, or what happens? Or are we just going to go with the ground game?
Yeah, I think the Steelers are kind of going to do what works. Juju, by all accounts, does not seem to be like the alpha wide receiver who's going to demand the ball. So, you know, if that means Jalen Samuels is going to catch 12 passes, then I guess he's going to catch 12 passes. It's kind of a weird shift in things, but yeah, I think they're going to go with, the Steelers are going to go with, you know, what Mason Rudolph can do. And apparently that's hand the ball off and dump the ball off and not throw too much downfield. So
yeah, they don't seem to want to take chances with them. And of course we talked about Paris Campbell being out. Zach Pascal is in there until T.Y. Hilton. I don't have any word on Jono about T.Y. Hilton.
When the injury first came out, it was definitely going to be a multi-week injury. So he's not going to play next week. He might have a chance to come back the week after, but he's not going to play this week, barring a lot of improvement over the last week.
So you're the waiver guy. Who are we picking up?
Well, Pascal. Jack Doyle.
Oh, Jack Doyle. I guess this is pending Brissett. Now, Brissett is day to day, apparently. So I'm not sure about that.
If he sprained his MCL, I don't see him playing after a week. But, he definitely wouldn't be full health if he did.
But I'm kind of surprised in the rushing game, Trey Edmonds, 12 carries for 73 yards. Do we have to, if you're in a deeper league, is he worth grabbing?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Samuels looked really bad running the ball. Edmonds came in and looked pretty good. So I think if you're in a standard league, I think, you know, Edmonds is a decent option if Carter doesn't come back. Maybe low ceiling, but decent option.
Yeah, he'd probably get the goal line carries too.
Yeah, probably. But
possible.
It's Pittsburgh.
It is Pittsburgh. All right, Kev. Jets in Miami, 18. The Miami get their first win. Yay. Thoughts on this game? My question to you, Kev, is this. Is Adam Gase the worst coach ever?
It's tough. He's in a very tight competition with Freddie Kitchens right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Hugh Jackson exists, guys.
I mean, Hugh Jackson had like flashes of, I was going to say brilliance, but brilliance is way too strong.
Yeah, but isn't actively throwing his players under the bus like Jackson used to.
This is Kitchens, two teams.
We're just talking about coaching, the ability to have your team prepared to win football games.
I don't think Kitchens or Gase are doing a very good job.
They're doing a terrible job. Like, there was, they both did the same thing. Like, where's Le'Veon Bell for goal line carry? Nowhere. Where was Chubb? I didn't see Chubb on the goal line carry for the Browns, and there was a situation there. It's just plain awful about the play calling that Gase and Kitchens are doing. But to the point of this game, I mean, I'm not seeing much growth out of Sam Darnold. Kind of an average day, 260 yards, one interception, one touchdown. Yeah, that's nice, but I guess if there's any positives, we know that Preston Preston Williams, yeah, he just had a big day and then he gets hurt, so he could be out for a lengthy period. But Gesicki came out with a breakout, but you know, I don't see that being repeated. Do you, Jono?
Somebody's gonna have to catch the ball. That's not Devontae Parker. Why not Gesicki?
I suppose. Kev, what do you say?
Literally the same thing. I mean, Preston Williams was great for an undrafted rookie, but he wasn't any, leaps and bounds better than anyone else on that team. Gesicki, if he's going to... I mean, Gesicki was a first-round pick, so it makes sense for him to show some flashes here and there. The Dolphins really should, at this point, just be focusing on player development. And, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of mandated, let's try and get Gesicki to at least show something.
Do you think there was, do you think there was anything to the rumor? I don't know if you heard the rumor that the Steelers were actively pursuing Lev Bell before the deadline. Think there's any truth in it?
They confirmed it.
Oh, they did? Oh, yeah, I didn't know it was confirmed.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's,
that would have been interesting.
Would have been hilarious. I would have enjoyed it.
That actually would have been almost better than the whole Antonio Brown saga. Almost.
Yeah. That was really something. I don't know what to make of that. But when I read that, I sort of passed it off. Ah, stuff and nonsense. And here you tell me it's been confirmed. Well, there you go. I should read deeper into the, instead of just headlines in the first paragraph. So anyways, moving right along into the late games. Because we talked about Kitchens and the Browns. The Browns 19 at Denver 24. Baker Mayfield continues to suck, and the Browns just continue to suck, and everything sucks on the Browns. Can I just say that? I don't know about Jono. The Browns suck. Let's just face it. The Browns suck.
Yeah, they're bad. It's hard to out-disappoint your fan base after an 0-16 season, but they're doing it. It's bad. The only bright spot on this team is Nick Chubb. And we talked about you were mentioning it earlier. He wasn't in on the goal line. It's because they're preparing their fans to see Kareem Hunt on the goal line instead of Chubb.
I don't know. Kareem Hunt. Oh, well, let's toss that over to you, Kev, about Kareem Hunt. He comes in. Will that bring smiles to the faces of fantasy people and the Browns fans?
I mean, I would say it probably has a better chance of bringing smiles to Browns fans' faces than fantasy players. I mean, who's really counting on Kareem Hunt at this point? But if he can add a little more dynamicism to that Browns offense, even though they have so many talented players, it might help out. I mean, I don't really know at this point. It's hard to point at anything other than the quarterback. And usually when I look at a quarterback who's talented but struggling, I tend to look at the coaching. And so I don't really think anything's going to change until they get rid of the coach, which is, I don't know, who knows who. I don't think they'd be willing to do that so quickly. Maybe they'll give him the rest of the year.
Yeah. Jono, tossing it back to you. Are we picking up Noah Fant this week?
I mean, he was drafted in the first round for a reason, but I think, again, he's going to be inconsistent. He looked really good this week because of a 75-yard touchdown where 17 Browns players failed to tackle him.
This is true.
I swear there are players running off the bench and missing tackles on that play. Absolutely brutal.
That was the other side too on the Browns defense. They just arm tackle. You see how many arm tackles they make? Oh man, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And Lindsay was just running through them like a knife through butter. It was just like they're just arm tackling. He was breaking through the first tackle every single carry almost.
I mean, Whitehead got yelled at on Twitter and then said some very questionable things and got cut for it. So good for him. For not being able to take some criticism on social media.
Yeah. Who was that? Whitehead.
He was their free safety. He was one of the worst defenders of the arm tackle thing. Got yelled at on Twitter. He yelled back, said some very, very questionable things. And now he doesn't have a job. So good for him.
Okay. Fair is fair. Kev, last word on this game. Anything else to add with regard to Brandon Allen or Cortland Sutton?
I guess Brandon Allen is better than Joe Flacco.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
What a development.
I know. I think you're right. I think Brandon Allen is better than Joe Flacco.
I mean, like 45% of his yards came on one play where he didn't really do anything.
But he got the win, John.
So, sure. That's fair. He won.
Okay, Buccaneers at Seattle was a. I don't have the proper score here. I think it was.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think this game ended 6-0.
No, it didn't end 6-0. I've got the wrong score here. This game did not end 6-0. I must have the score from the rainy day game.
It was 40-34 for the Seahawks.
Did one of you guys change that?
I just changed.
Did you change it, or no, you just fixed it? Oh, I thought you were playing tricks on me. Anyway. Right. So Tampa Bay 34, Seattle 40. Went into overtime. So fantasy people got extra points from Russell Wilson. Here's another guy. Kevin, MVP?
Personally, there's another guy I think is probably a better candidate, but
objectively he's not, but okay.
Hey, I mean, who has Seattle beat and who did they lose to?
They lost to the Saints, but they beat the Rams. They've had some.
They beat the Rams in one of the best games of the season. It was amazing.
Yeah. So it's.
They beat the Rams. They lost to the Saints. They beat the Bengals by 1. They beat the Steelers by 2. Beat the Cardinals. Beat the Browns by 4. Lost to the Ravens by 2 touchdowns. Had to take the Bucks to overtime. I don't know.
But they won.
Yeah, they won the games. It's like saying, I guess, well, we're going to get to that game in a minute, but.
Also, I think it speaks more to Russ's case that he's actually carrying this team to like these wins. He needs 5 touchdowns to actually win these games. I think that's MVP stuff.
Yeah.
It sucks. Crap.
Jono, I'll take it with you. How about Ronald Jones? He's the man, I guess.
Yeah, 67 yards on 18 carries is nothing to write home about, but when your competition is Peyton Barber, you've established yourself as the number one. Arians came out and said that Jones is going to get more opportunities, and if he's still available, then should probably grab him.
Yeah, I he might be available on some waiver wires in shallower leagues, perhaps, but.
I think he's, last I saw, he was like 75 or something. So like the quarter of the league's out there, he's still there. So.
Right. And Kev, Chris Carson's still doing it, but a little bit of fumbleitis creeping into his game again.
Wait.
Chris Carson. A little bit of fumbling. Guy? Yeah, Chris Carson had a little bit of fumbleitis. He nearly lost the ball. It went out of bounds, but so Seattle maintained the possession, but. We could have a little bit of concerns, but he's still got 16 carries, 105 yards. So,
it's kind of like AP back. I mean, I'm not comparing Chris Carson. Actually, what am I saying? I am. It's like you take the good with the bad, or you take the bad with the good, or whatever it is. Like, if he's gonna fumble, you know, it's gonna cost you every once in a while. But otherwise, he's so talented, and he adds so much to the game that you kind of just live with the fumbles.
Yeah. Next. Thing that I would say that Tyler Lockett, good Lord, 13 catches, 152 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jono, with Josh Gordon coming in, he can't maintain this. Well, he shouldn't maintain this. But Seattle just, I think Seattle plays the matchup, don't they? So it's going to be up or down based on matchup, right?
Tyler Lockett is like matchup proof. He's going to catch. Big. He's gonna catch his big. You know, big. He's gonna have those big catches every single week. You know, seemingly midway through the fourth quarter, he's gonna have 2 points, and then by the time the game ends, he's gonna have like 30. Mm. That's just Tyler Lockett. I don't think Gordon's gonna affect him much, if at all. Lockett's not normally a volume guy, anyways, so I don't think it's really gonna take that much away from him. Seattle knows that Lockett's probably their best receiver, so Lockett's fine. He's gonna have his blow up games, and for somebody that isn't a target hog. Like somebody like, say, Mike Evans, he has a good floor as well.
And speaking of Mike Evans, Kev, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who would you rather own?
I think I would rather own Mike Evans. I don't know. I flip back and forth on it, but I think it is Evans in the long term. Just at the end of the day, when you have Jameis as a quarterback and you're going to have accuracy issues and decision-making issues, I'd rather just probably have the bigger-bodied guy who might just be able to beat his defender out.
All right.
Small correction to my Ronald Jones thing. I don't know who I was thinking of, but Jones is only owned in 41% of Yahoo leagues, so widely available.
Widely available. You heard it here first. Moving on to...
Sorry. One more thing, Mike sure. Evans is the wide receiver one in half PPR leagues, so he's like objectively the better wide receiver.
I think I would just slightly take Evans ahead. Although either week you could be starting the wrong guy. You have to start them both, but one is gonna tip the scales better than the other on alternating weeks, depending on who's open and the coverage schemes that they're up against. So. Anyways, moving right along, Green Bay 11, Chargers 26. Obviously, Green Bay, they prefer the cold weather. They were talking about that. I was reading an article that Green Bay does not do good in warm weather in the in November. They prefer the cold, and it really showed. Aaron Rodgers, 161 yards and a touchdown after having two games where he seemed to be turning it around after a very kind of lukewarm start to the season. A bad game all around for all the Packers. And, is this one that we just throw in the can, Kev?
I mean, the Packers just seem to do this like once or twice a year where they have a pretty good matchup that they should kind of cakewalk. They should at least, you know. We saw Aaron Jones, we saw Jamal Williams up against the 26th-ranked Chargers rush defense, and they come out and both post donuts, or not donuts, but, you know, close enough. Rodgers struggled all day. I guess you just have to throw it away just because, you know, it's the Packers and you know that they'll bounce back, but it's just weird that every year that they do this and there's not much we can really do to predict anything about it.
All right. And, I guess on the Chargers side, I guess we can say, Jono, that, Melvin Gordon is back.
Yeah, shocker that somebody might need some games to, you know, come back. I guess without training camp, without training camp, I guess he needs some time to just get in a rhythm. I was very down on him last week, but I'm honestly not too much higher on him. He looked much better in this game, but the entire Green Bay team was just bad. We'll see what happens next week. Of course, the arrow's pointing up for him, but I wouldn't trust the one outing just yet.
Yeah. I'm going to be talking about Keenan Allen in our segment on Panic Button later, so I won't discuss him now, but...
We're allowed to do that? Both my movement and ups have already been discussed. I've been searching for new ones.
Oh!
we're allowed to do that? Damn it, alright.
Oh, yeah, we can revisit, because we don't know who exactly they were until we get to that point, so we'll find out who, because I mean, I already talked about Noah Fant, but, Keenan Allen, why is he invisible? He's a good player. He should be catching balls. I mean, here's Keenan Allen, last six games, half PPR, 7 points, 4 points, 4 points, 8 points, 9 points, 6 points, playing a very, a Packers team that was, flat, and it's all going to Mike Williams and, Hunter Henry. I sure don't get it, but it is what it is. Kev, you have any thoughts on this, or what you own, Keenan Allen anywhere?
I don't actually. I mean, previously 3 weeks, I would have really wanted to own him. He's one of my favorite players to watch. I think his route running is amazing. His ball skills are great, but yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. It's weird. I guess Hunter Henry is taking a lot of targets away from him. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of inexplicable to me. Like something, part of me wants to just say like, oh yeah, he's going to pick it up, but it's been 5 weeks now. So I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Mike Williams is doing better. 10, 10, 7, 8, 13. In fact, it was, Mike Williams' first 100-yard game of the season against the Packers. Did very well. Next up is, this is the big one. Okay, guys, I could just let you guys go and just have a friendly chat over this, the Sunday night game, New England 20, Baltimore 37. Who wants to start? Anybody take the floor? Go ahead. dive in.
It should have been a bigger blowout.
Yeah, it really should have been. It was awful.
This was not really a close game, like outside of us fumbling the ball and then immediately doing some other dumb shit.
Yep. The fact that the Pats had a chance, like close to the end of the third, was unbelievable. Like they were just so bad in all facets.
Yeah, and I was watching Bill Belichick's. couldn't wait because this has been Bill Belichick's first loss of the season. So you know you want to hear what he has to say. And he isn't much different after he wins because after he wins, he's just like, we could have done this better. He's never happy. Never smiles unless. You know, unless he's screwing
with the Jets.
Yeah, unless he's screwing with the Jets. Yeah, that's the only time he'll smile. But he never smiles at press conferences. But anyway, a rather unusual game that I actually thought Bill Belichick would have some sort of idea how to deal with this pistol run read option thing. You know, I thought they would kind of force Lamar Jackson into being conventional. Lamar Jackson, I guess, Kev, is he the guy that you were going to say is actually the MVP? Is that who you're thinking?
I mean, obviously, I'm joking. There's no real, it's just 9 games in, so I don't really care too much about the MVP.
You were thinking McCaffrey.
I definitely wasn't thinking McCaffrey. The running back, basically, unless he it's gotta, like, if you're gonna give it to a running back, you've got to actually wait until the end of the year stats, because the impact is just like, who knows really. It's pretty much always gonna be a quarterback, and then, you know, we're only 9 games in, so much is gonna change in the next 7 weeks that, you know, just because Lamar Jackson beat the Patriots and he beat the Seahawks and, you know, he's putting up video game numbers, I'm not saying he should be MVP, but I'm not saying he shouldn't be.
163 yards passing is not video game. Just saying.
37 points against the Patriots. All you see me doing these imaginary air quotes, right? All-time great defense.
Not at all.
Pretty good.
The one thing I would like you to address, though, Kev, is the tight end situation with Baltimore. Seems like one day it's one guy. Like this week it was Boyle. Another week it's going to be Andrews. Another week it's going to be Hurst. But I don't know if Hurst is hurt or not. I didn't see him, his number get called. But I don't know. What are we supposed to make of these tight ends on Baltimore anyway?
I mean, I think the point is that, you know, you're not supposed to make anything of it. And other opposing defenses aren't going to make anything of it either, or aren't going to be able to either. If you have 3 tight ends out there who can run block, pass block, and run routes, for this type of offense, it's infinitely useful. So I think the point is that all 3 of them are going to be on the field a lot. And I mean, Mark Andrews is the primary pass catcher, but like, there's going to be weeks like this where Boyle takes his touchdown, or there's going to be another week where Hurst leads the team in receptions. And I think the idea is just to be multidimensional like that.
Yeah. A good day for Mark Ingram, I should mention, as well. Over 100 yards and 15 fantasy points, I believe. I'll just check here. Yes, it was. No, 13. 13 half PPR points. So good day. Good day for back on the ball after a bit of a down week last week. Okay, that's our games of the week. Time to get into our final segments of the game, and that is our panic button. I guess I'll start with you, Jono. Who's your panic?
First panic, we kind of mentioned him already, Terry McLaurin. So long as Dwayne Haskins is starting for the Redskins, McLaurin is not going to do very well. Haskins doesn't really have a feel for playing QB at the NFL level yet. Even though he played with McLaurin in college, he didn't really look to him that often, and he's not really going to be there unless Haskins figures it out very, very quickly. And I see Kevin just stole my panic. Damn it! All right, my second one.
Kevin, who's yours? You're panicking on.
Guy, I feel like me and Jonathan discuss every goddamn week. Sonny Michel. I get it that they were playing from behind, but for him to only have 5 touches and I think 17% of the snaps is crazy.
It's the Belichick way. It's the Belichick way. It's one guy, 1 week, and then you're going to see Burke.
Well, he ran a wrong route in the first quarter and saw the field like 3 times afterwards.
Right. That's the concern. Is yep. Burkhead is back. Sonny apparently has the shortest leash in the world. Is this going to affect things going forward? I feel like it's going to.
Yeah. It was funny because people thought that at one time he was on the move and on upscale. Now he's on the move and on down. So
I think it what really works against them is that the Patriots have actual football teams to play now. Their schedule coming up is, what, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs. So they're going to have to throw way more than they've been. And Sony's just not going to be in on those downs. So
that's a good point.
My guy is, I mentioned him as Keenan Allen. You know, the targets are there. Well, the targets weren't there in this game. But, I mean, this is his targets for the last six games, like from late September. Six against Miami, six against Denver, six against Pittsburgh, 11 against Tennessee, 10 against Chicago, and his lowest target count of the season against Green Bay at home, four targets, three catches for 40 yards. I don't understand it. What gives with Keenan Allen? And for some reason, I don't know why, but it appears that, well, Mike Williams only got four catches, but he's getting the air yards. I think that's what's giving Mike Williams a bit more of an edge, is he's getting the air yards. But his targets have been like, well, he was out against Miami, but he's had 13, 10, 6, 6, and of course he had four, just like Keenan Allen. But his four were quality air yards. Apparently, I don't know, I read somewhere, I think it's our friend James Coe, Kev, he brought up the point that that Mike Williams apparently is number one in air yards. Is that right? Possibly? Or he's up there?
For the season?
Yeah, I think he's a leader for air yards that are air yards on targets or something like that. I don't know how it works exactly. I don't follow the air yards, cause apparently somebody's pointed out a bit of a flaw in air yards. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, there's a bit of a downside to that statistic, but I don't know. I still think it's pretty good. I mean, if you're getting three catches on four compared with, what Keenan Allen got on for his, three catches, I mean, it's obviously that Mike Williams is getting the quality catches, but I don't know.
Yards list right now. Mike Evans is in front by 260 over Keenan Allen, who's second with 1,000. Mike Williams is 10th with 815. If you do the math, because he missed a couple weeks, does that make him the leader? I don't think so.
Well, in average air yards per target, he's at 15 air yards a target. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, so average, he's 8th. But that's behind the guys like Chris Conley and James Washington.
Oh, okay.
Darius Slayton, he's number 2.
Wow. By the way, is there any updates on this game?
No, game's been over for a bit.
Final score?
Touchdown, which was hilarious, and I won my fantasy matchup because of it, which is hilarious.
Did you win our league?
Yes, I was saved from a night of just hating myself for starting Mark Walton.
Yeah, well, saved, you know, I was pulling for you, Kev. I was actually pulling for both of you. I was pulling for.
Blown out.
Yeah, you did. I saw the scoreboard, but I didn't look who you. I can't remember.
By like 145, I was already out of it. So
yeah, so Kev, you won. Yay! Well, I was hoping for you. I'll tell you why I was hoping for you, because I felt bad just a little bit about beating you by a point last week. So.
Oh yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk about that.
but it happened, and it was. Anyways, Juju Smith-Schuster was my other guy just going around the turn. He's my other guy that I'm worried about, mainly because no Pittsburgh Steeler receiver is good. Kind of a similar situation to Washington at the moment because of the quarterbacking. Quarterbacking matters for your receivers, and Juju he's definitely panic button for me. You guys got another panic button before we move on to our moving on ups?
I have another one.
Okay.
Kind of offshoot of what we were saying with the Chiefs Vikings game, but kind of panicking on McCoy since his fumble last week. Damian Williams has absolutely dominated the snaps over the last five quarters. Williams has 57 snaps, and McCoy's got 6.
Hell yeah.
Disregard what I said earlier. I don't know. McCoy could come back anytime, but honestly, with the way the snaps went this game, that's like damning evidence. After a fumble, you get benched that badly. Unless he's hurt, that's brutal. And he's not playable until he until he gets the snaps back up significantly.
I guess that means we can pick up Darrell Williams or something like that. Possibility. I guess it should be owned anyway. Deeper leagues, just in case, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Kev, you're up. If you got one more panic button, or are you going to pass? Player pass.
Let's see if I can come up with one in about 10 seconds.
Okay.
Got lots of time. I got nothing.
Got nothing. Okay. John, do you want to add an extra for...
Panic? No. I'm okay. I pass.
I guess I'll throw in... I'll just say one word. No, I haven't got one.
He's been bad for 5-6 weeks now, and I don't think we've ever brought him up. Larry Fitzgerald, he's been bad.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he gets Tampa next week, so he could bounce back like pretty strong, but I don't know. After his first 3 weeks, everyone's pretty excited for him, and he's significantly cooled off.
I thought he could. People could pick him up cheap as a buy low. So I think he's a good buy low myself, because he's very low. You can buy him low. Good buy low candidate.
Alshon is another player who is sucking.
Yeah, that's who I thought that you could buy him low with. Yeah. that sort of level. There's another panic button there right there. And so, anyways, moving on up. Jono, start with you. Moving on up.
I'm going to go with Mohamed Sanu. He had a great game in his second game with the Pats. 14 targets, 10 catches, and a touchdown. Just good game. He looked good. He obviously has Brady's trust already. Played every snap. And Keel Harry didn't play, but I don't think he's going to have that big of an impact on a veteran. And for all that we talked about him being, you know, behind Dorsett or, you know, whoever, he out-targeted Julian Edelman, which is no small feat in the Pats offense.
I tend to agree. I really underestimated Sanu. I thought Sanu was just going to be, you know, depth, but they actually really needed him, turns out, considering what they've got left. Kevin, moving on.
Sanu was absolutely roasting Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters had no chance. My moving on up guy is Zach Pascal. T.Y. Hilton's going to miss a couple weeks. Pascal had 2 weeks ago at Houston, had 6 catches for 162 touchdown, and then completely busted with 1 catch for 6 yards, but followed that up this week with a pretty solid game, 5 catches, 76 yards, and 1 touchdown. He's just going to be, I guess he's the number one receiver in that offense. And, you know, whether or not you believe Brian Hoyer is going to be any kind of good, the number one receiver, I mean, the surrounding pieces of that offense are pretty solid, and Brian Hoyer is passable. So I think Pascal can be pretty useful, especially if Brissett is actually going to play in week 10, like reports say he might.
Yeah. I mentioned Noah Fant already in the game commentary. Another reason I think Noah Fant is moving on up is mainly because Emmanuel Sanders is on the 49ers, and Deshaun Hamilton is just nowhere to be found in that offense. And I think Noah Fant is the guy they want to get going, which they did. And I think Noah Fant, whom I dropped in our league, regrettably, and held on to that bum Eric Ebron, who didn't get his traditional weekly touchdown, which is all I was hoping for, but he couldn't even get that. But Noah Fant, I think, is the guy who's going to get targets, and he's definitely a guy to own. Now, granted, this could you correctly pointed out, this performance was against the Browns, which they are awful. So we can't really, I guess you can't really count that, but still, you put up the numbers, and Emmanuel Sanders isn't there, so he's the guy. So I guess I'll go around the turn and say Ronald Jones, whom we already mentioned. I'll just mention him briefly. Yeah, Arian says he's the number one now. So going back around the turn, it's to you, Kev.
So my guy, second guy, is Ryan Tannehill, actually. Since he's become a starter, he's averaged around 19 fantasy points per game. Had 23 this game, with 2 touchdowns. Wait, what is this? Read that wrong. One touchdown, but he also added 38 yards and a touchdown on the ground, which is something that he used to do a lot in Miami, and something that the Titans probably should be comfortable with their quarterback doing, since they had Mariota there for a while, and he's, a running quarterback. So, Tannehill is someone who's, over 300 yards twice this season, 6 touchdowns in his last 3 games. Pretty good, actually. He's got KC next week, which is pretty soft, and a bye. than Jacksonville, Indy, Oakland, Houston. He's probably a guy that you can roll out there most of those weeks, and you'll probably get high-end QB2 points.
Yeah, definitely worthwhile for the Titans, and he's got the weapons too, doesn't he? Granted, it was a tough match against the Panthers, but yeah, I like it. Jono?
Yep, speaking of Tannehill's weapons, I'm going to go with A.J. Brown. He once again looked good with Tannehill in there. 7 targets, second highest total of the season. Now in three full games with Tannehill, he's racked up, 18 targets and a touchdown. He's had 81 yards, again, his third highest total of the season. A 121-yard catch, 135-yard catch. He's a big play guy, and as long as he's getting the targets, he will break these for touchdowns and big. I mean, you can use with a decent quarterback like Tannehill at the helm.
And, I guess we're at the closing. We already talked about Gase and Kitchens already. I've had this in our final word segment, but is there anything else that we can add? Jono, I want to ask you if there's any waiver pickups that we should be going for this week. Who's the top of your, who can we see at the top of your list in the waiver article this week, just to give people a head start?
I mean, it would have been Pascal, just with everybody else hurt. Zach Pascal is by far the highest ceiling option. Normally, when a starting running back is out, you have to say the backup running back, but I've already been over Kalen Ballage. I don't want to talk about Kalen Ballage. No. So it's going to be Zach Pascal this week.
All right. And I guess my guy would probably be Noah Fant, maybe. I think there's some running backs you can sort of take a little bit of a flyer on, because things are quite unsettled. And I think if you want to try Miles Gaskin or you want to try J.D. McKissick, I think they're worthwhile if you want to kick the tires on those guys. And I mean, it could be just a one-off. Kevin, you got a guy? You got any advice for people who want to pick up somebody?
I think if you're PPR league, look at J.D. McKissick. I think if you're in standard and you really, really need a start, maybe look at Trey Edmonds and just pray. It's kind of bare pickings this week.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Pretty good weeks are gone past us now. I think it's getting to that time of year where we're not seeing as much good stuff. Anyway, so it's on to week 10. Double digit weeks, guys. Double digit weeks. We're getting to the end of it. I want to thank Kevin Hall and Jonathan Chan. And I'm Richard Seville for Fantasy6Pack.net, The Fantasy Edge. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care and have a good week 10. Take care. That is the show. Da-da.